It's Tuesday, October 17th, and oh no, we suck again. Aaron Rodgers breaks his collarbone and is likely to miss the remainder of the season. Can the Packers right the ship and make the playoffs? And the Bucks get underway Wednesday night. We'll give our thoughts on how the season will shake out. Jabari Parker does not reach an extension with the team. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 258.
It's on the ones and twos. Charlie, with
yes,
you.
Sir. Loaded show tonight.
Loaded show.
Or today.
So, kind of noticed the listens are down a little bit. So, going to be rethinking strategy a little bit. Maybe a survey comes out next week. Want to hear from you. Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Maybe get it on more places. God, there's so many places where you can get podcasts now. And we're probably not doing a good enough job getting you all of those places. So that's on me. But we both live very busy, busy, busy lives. So we do what we can. So hang tight. Changes are coming. But doing well so far. So Mitch, I think he's doing well, except for obviously the news that except for the news that hurt us all on Sunday. But Mitch, how we doing, baby?
I'm good.
That's good.
Nice and rested.
There you go. Yeah, weekend off.
Weekend out of Dodge.
There you go.
It's been way too long. So when you get one of those, it's underrated how nice it is to just get out of the city and up north for couple days and decompress and not have to be anywhere for a few days, like I said, and just sort of get back to your roots a little bit and come back and then appreciate Milwaukee a little bit more.
Turn it off and then turn it right back on again and have the vibes rolling for the early part of the week.
Yeah, so. And, the boys are starting up here this week, the Bucks, so obviously it's going to get right back to it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So. No question about it. So, yeah. And for me personally, it's been good times, with everything going on. And I love October; it's a great month. Football, baseball, basketball, all rolling. I mean, tonight you get two NBA games, two MLB games. I mean, what more do you want? And then Bucks gets
not just any NBA games,
right?
I
mean, yeah, oh yeah, you're right.
It's probably the four most want talked about teams of the offseason.
Absolutely. That's great. And I think it's all must watch. It's all really let's not overreact over week one of the NBA. And that's going to be a theme I think you'll hear permeated throughout this podcast when we're talking about the Bucks. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk first about the Packers and where we sit right now with that. And then
in case you were catatonic after that injury, the Packers did end up losing.
Yeah. And then go into the Bucks and then the rest of the NBA, and we'll squeeze some MLB playoffs in there, and a potential victors review because first timer was last Friday.
First time, long time.
No, literally first time. I that was an interesting experience. It's what I'll say. I mean, first Long Island I've had in years. Actually, I had two. So that was quite a time, but good shit all around. So. Yeah, so I guess
the guy is drunk.
I'm trying to think, setting up the whole Rodgers injury and what's already been said and everything like that. It's just you saw it happen and it didn't look good. Rodgers, if you've seen me on the Twitter streets, I've always been kind of like some guys play doctor really too quick, especially with Rodgers, especially after his collarbone injury, his calf injury, and other stuff.
My old man was doing it.
So I looked at it and I was like, that doesn't look good. And then he
almost got crushed stepping up in the pocket too in that play.
Right.
Because I know I said, oh boy, when he stepped up in the pocket and got away.
Right.
And then, he threw the ball and you didn't really see the hit on camera.
Right.
Because the ball was in the air. But
you almost wonder if he gets hit stepping up, maybe that would have been a big ass hit, but it would not have been to his side and then caused his collarbone to break.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is his second collarbone injury. He's now broken both his right and his left collarbone. Gonna have surgery. They don't know when, but that's gonna happen, and he could be out for the season because it's his throwing shoulder and everything that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of ask yourself, where do we go from here?
And, you know, I will circle back to Rodgers after and kind of just see what, you know, the future holds. But, you know, Mike McCarthy was very passionate on Monday, kind of similar to the 4-6 when, or I think it was 4-6 when McCarthy had sort of the rah-rah speeches and things like that. It was very similar. And he was not happy with the way the Packers played in general. And I think it was a team who got gut punched. And I don't think anyone, I think including McCarthy, did not really respond well. I thought the defense actually played okay. But I think McCarthy's play calling was far too conservative. And I get not wanting Brett Hundley to be kind of rattled. But he should have just kind of took the restrictor off and let him just slant.
Well, I think that's like the biggest thing with the whole injury was you kind of saw, you know, McCarthy go conservative for sure.
Right.
And would you rather have seen him? I think it makes sense to, you know, he didn't really get a fair chance to show what he can do.
Absolutely not.
And, you know, especially like that first drive, it was like two handoffs and that was it.
Yep.
And that you kind of understand to get him back to the sideline, talk with him, rather than just having him go out there and thrown right into the fire.
Sure thing.
But then as the game went on, there wasn't much. It was very vanilla.
Even the drive to finish the game, it's like, guys, you know, you get a quick touchdown. You take a shot here and get it down. It's 23-17, and you have a shot at winning this game. I mean, and
how much do you think, like, the receivers were deflated?
I think everybody was. I think that was McCarthy's point. I mean, there's Ben Fennell, who does stuff for NFL Films, but he's a Packer fan, so he does, like, Packer tape, too. Mm-hmm. He had a video of Demarius Randle running away from defenders and not making a tackle, which is a bad look.
Yeah, that happens
bad,
to him a
bad, bad look. But I just think overall, I mean, the team effort stunk. I mean, I do star ratings every Monday. You can check that out on Snowtap WI. It's a website. But basically, I rated out all defensive guys. Kenny Clark, Blake Martinez. Ha ha, had a good game. Mm-hmm.
Kenny Clark was good.
I mean, Kenny Clark was really good and controlled that middle. Mike Daniels also played all right.
And Martinez, I mean, he had, 11 tackles, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Martinez continues to be kind of the shining star, if you want to say. I mean, him and Clay Matthews, in a sense, have...
I mean, he's been a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah. And you know, it's just been great. And so this defense, I don't know why people think this defense isn't that good. This defense is all right.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean,
it's not, like, great, but it's not, like, bad either.
Yeah. They're going to have to be better. No question about that. I think everybody's going to have to be better if you want to make the playoffs this year.
Right.
But yeah, they only allowed, three field goals in the second half, two field goals in the second half. I mean, you can't, I mean,
three
without
field goals.
Without a, you know, quarterback, for lack of a better term.
Yep.
I don't know what more you can expect.
No, they stood up. They stood up.
Granted, you're not facing, you know, Tom Brady.
No.
But, Case Keenum's adequate.
And, like, look, Packers offense is going to have to score a lot of points against Drew Brees this week, but let's stay in the North before I preview the Saints. And I broke this down as well, and I don't think it's that ridiculous to think the Packers can't win the NFC North. Now, I know Teddy Bridgewater's practicing, I don't think he's going to be – I don't know if he's going to be ready to play next week. I don't know if he's going to be ready to go after the bye. They go to London to play the Browns after they play the Ravens. And then they had a head back, and they have a bye week.
Vikings and Browns in London.
You bet. But the Vikings have a bunch of road games left, which the Vikings are one of the best teams at home. And that they only have three home games left the rest of the season after their game against the Ravens this week. That's not great. Lions, four out of six in the end of the year are on the road. The Lions, actually, I think, have just as many problems as the Packers. Vegas right now considers, I think the favorites now in the NFC North are the Vikings, but the Packers are second and the Lions are third. So what does that say about the Lions right now, who TJ Lang was inactive? They gave up 52 points. Now, granted,
The Saints are hot. They are.
So again, just like we just talked about the Vikings, and we could just go into it, I guess. The Saints are a team that's awesome at home. Mm-hmm. They are an awesome home team.
Yeah.
And they played a listless Miami team in London. And, you know, they took care of Cam before his shoulder wasn't right. They've kind of, you know, saw sometimes teams not necessarily get lucky, but they're just fortunate when they play teams.
Yeah.
It's what the Saints are falling into right now.
Mm-hmm.
They've fallen into now four wins, really, because Stafford was banged up. That offensive line was. but that defense of the Lions isn't really that good. And the Saints defense isn't good. They're opportunistic. I mean, they can easily pick Brett Hundley off and run it for six, and I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, some of the numbers that are coming out of this game are showing that Hundley wasn't that bad.
Plus, when you're down 31-7, I think in like the early second quarter or something.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford went full garbage time and started accumulating points at a rapid rate.
Yep.
But, and that's what the Lions do. I mean, the Lions get down big and then they claw back and they make it look somewhat respectable. So I don't think the Lions are, and the Lions really, you know, I don't want to go this far, but they have now, they play Pittsburgh on Sunday night, not this week, no, 2 weeks from now. They have a bye. They got Pittsburgh on Sunday night, and then they have the Packers in back-to-back weeks. And if they go, if they're then 3-5, I mean, that's a tall, tall hill to climb, and they have to climb right back out of it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what. They don't leave.
Well, I mean, are the Packers like a guaranteed loss at this point?
No, not at all.
So
I mean, it's just, no.
It's hard to pick the Packers now.
Okay, so the Saints. We'll just go there because we've been dancing. The Saints are now a 6-point road favorite against the Packers. Whew. Yeah, that is far too high.
Yeah, I think so too.
That is a Vegas is trying to goat. All the public money into
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Absolutely. Or have Packer fans bet it down, one of the two. But that's way too high. That is way too high. So
yeah, that's too high. I'd probably go Green Bay there.
Because I think that while Drew Brees is very good and while they have a pretty talented combo in running back with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, they still have a lot of problems at the defense. That defense is not fixed. It's almost the perfect team for Brett Hundley to face having a full week of practice because McCarthy can exploit that defense.
I think the weather's supposed to be decent.
Yep. And that also bodes in his favor. And I think, you know, a lot of people are putting their support behind Brett Hundley in a weird way. I feel like this is very different than 2013. And I don't know if you feel that way. I'm not saying like they could still go like 7-9.
Well, yeah, because they, you know, Hundley's been here for years.
Right.
And he's under the system. McCarthy clearly has confidence in him.
Yep.
Him or Joe Callahan.
Right.
For that matter, they've both looked good in preseason at times.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's different than trotting out Seneca Wallace and having him puke all over your shoes for 2 weeks and then parting ways.
And I feel like when that happened, we all sort of were like, well, what the fuck? What do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you watch how bad Seneca Wallace was, and Nick Foles lit up the Packers defensively. He had a big day. Philly kind of rolled, and you just kind of ask yourself, you know, what do you do now? And now having Hundley there, there's a lot of support. You know, there was reports that like 7 or 8 people asked to get customized Hundley jerseys in the pro shop today. So people and that just kind of says like. I know we pontificate sometimes about like Packer fans not being like, you know, acting like holier than thou, but sometimes that's the cool shit about Packer fans is they're going to ride and die. And I think a lot of people are will get on the Hundley bandwagon after this week, win or lose. I think you could see a game where the Packers might lose 38-28 and people are still on Hundley's side because
if he shows competence and is able to move the ball, throws a couple touchdowns, I think people will be okay.
Right.
But if, you know, they don't look good, a lot of, you know, this past week repeats itself again, it's going to get loud.
The thing about, I will, especially with a bye week. And the thing about Hundley is he can move. Like, he has some wheels. Like, I know the Packers have tried to make him not be run first. They've told him, like, hey, you need to be a pass-first quarterback, but he can get 100 yards on the ground. Like I know that that's something the Packers haven't done, but they really should be looking at, and maybe this isn't something they can do this week because this is maybe a bye week thing, but they should really be looking at what Houston's doing, what Kansas City's doing with spread-type college-like offenses, and they should be running stuff that's very close to what Houston and Kansas City are doing because that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I like that Houston idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Deshaun Watson is awesome.
Right.
He is leading the NFL in touchdown passes, and you know, he's obviously a mobile quarterback, but he can throw the ball too, which I think Brett Hundley can too.
Yeah, and I think that they have some comparables. I think Watson might be a better passer overall, but at the same time, like, that's not to say that you can't take a little something from here and a little something from there and form an offense around him. I think McCarthy this week's going to say, okay, here's what we can do. And then next in the bye week, then they're really going to, they're really going to dive into all of the things.
And now one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is the offensive line.
Sure.
Because they lost three, the story going in yesterday morning or Sunday morning was they have their whole offensive line healthy. Now they lost three more guys in that game on Sunday. Bilaga, who hasn't played a full game, and I don't know how long.
Oh, jeez.
Bakhtiari, hamstring injury, which is what he had, so he must have re-aggravated it.
So, yeah, and Lane Taylor.
It's got to scare you.
Well, so twofold here. Number one, I don't understand that Bakhtiari, Domofsky reported on Saturday that it didn't sound like Bakhtiari was going to play.
Yeah, it didn't all week.
And he inferred that. And then he's on the field. I don't get if Bakhtiari was 85%.
Is that good old Green Bay gamesmanship, you think?
Maybe.
Where they have Bakhtiari talk all week, kind of down in the dumps, like.
Yeah, I guess.
He's still looking at a couple of weeks.
I guess that could be. You're right, because Minnesota has the pass rushers and whatever. So now he's probably done until after the bye week, and they'll just get him healthy. I think you have to. If Lane Taylor and Bakhtiari can't go and Bilaga can't go, man, that's going to make it really hard. That's going to make it really, really difficult.
Then you have two guys on the line with two first names, and you can't trust those guys.
No.
So.
But you have Lucas Patrick actually played okay.
Larry McCarron called him Patrick Lucas once.
And Justin McCray has been up and down. Linsley is Linsley. I don't know anything about Ulrich.
Well, what's his name? Ben Fennell?
Yeah.
I think he tweeted like last week that Corey Linsley is like probably the best center in the NFL.
Yeah. And so.
Which I think is a little spicy.
Maybe. But you know, that. So that said, I don't think they can bring somebody in this week, but if they really want to win the NFC North, they have to bring in an experienced tackle. Eric Winston, whether it's Michael Orr, there's a few guys who are out there. Or you make a trade. The trade deadline's on the 31st. So either you make a deal for somebody or you just get, I don't think you make a deal just because Bakhtiari's here for a while. You just sign him to a 4-year deal.
That's an interesting question because I think the Packers do want to win the division. I don't think they're,
No,
that's not changing.
No.
But they also don't like trading picks. So you'd probably have to trade a pick if you want to go get somebody.
Yeah. I think they'd get a guy who was maybe like, like a swing tackle. Have you ever heard of that term before?
Yeah, where they play both.
Yeah, where they play like tackle guard. They're maybe the sixth guy essentially on the line. They come in on tackle eligibles.
Like J.C. Treader.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So I think that's the kind of guy you look for, which probably costs you a fourth or fifth round pick maybe. I think that's the kind of guy you're looking for.
Do you try to pluck one off a crappy team?
Yeah, I think that's what you probably look at. I know there's going to be some Joe Thomas rumblings because that happens, but people are idiots, and that's not going to happen with giving David Bakhtiari money. I mean, he's paid. Like, that's
how,
that.
How mad would you be? This is kind of changing gears, but I was watching Sunday Night Football.
Al Michaels. How
pre-game.
About that comment?
I didn't see that, actually, but
yikes.
The pregame show, and Florio was on there, and he just said, Eli Manning's has been in trade discussions in general, and it's like,
okay. So
would you get a quarterback?
I floated that out there. I broke down like, okay, so Kaepernick, Romo, and whether making a trade, and I said with Kaepernick, it's not the politics.
I don't think Romo's not happening,
and I think Romo has a cushy job, and he's now in Gruden territory where it's like, why leave?
Plus, people are starting to love him. So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not one of those guys, but speaking of which, my boy Benny V-Dubs texts me every time Romo said something dumb yesterday. I really appreciated that. That was good. shout outs to Ben. I know he's a listener. But, I don't think the Kaepernick thing's happening, not because of the politics, but it's because of the fact that McCarthy doesn't really run that type of offense. I know what we just said about Brett Hundley, but it's not like McCarthy's going to go completely to a spread style right. offense. Kaepernick's skill set does not fit with what McCarthy's doing.
Right.
And I think McCarthy genuinely likes Brett Hundley and Joe Callahan.
Totally.
And I think he wants to see them do well. And in a way, and I saw Murph's guy, Evan Cohen, mention this, in a way, Mike has to at least be a little excited to see if he can make like a 10-6 team with
sure.
a Brett Hundley.
Because
if he does, he's the big swinging dick in the Cracker Factory.
For sure.
And no one can fucking say shit about Mike McCarthy if he does that.
Right. This is where he can sort of earn his medal.
Absolutely,
he can. He can prove to the haters that are loud that he is a good coach and it's not just Aaron Rodgers.
Because all things considered, one of Bill Belichick's best seasons was taking Matt Castle and making him into an 11-5 quarterback.
Yep.
That's bar none.
Just solidified him
absolutely.
In lore.
Absolutely. You can consider all the Super Bowls, but the fact that that man made Matt Castle an 11-win quarterback and then made him a trade piece for years to come is phenomenal.
Yeah. And this is, you know, Brett Hundley's trade value probably was never higher before week one this year. And now, you know, if he does, you know, if they do,
they're going to get a first round pick.
If they do end up winning 9 games or 10 games this year with Hundley and go, you know, I think it's unrealistic to win 12. But,
no, I agree.
I mean, if you, theoretically, if everything goes well, which sometimes it does for the Packers, you could win 10 games.
Well, here's the thing.
And I think that might win the division.
That schedule is not that difficult.
Yeah, I should look that up. But
I mean, I can trail it off. So you get New Orleans next week. Very kind of tough.
Yeah.
You have the Lions at home. We know Detroit just kind of struggles at Lambeau Field. It's a Monday night game. People will be fired up. Then you got, it is a Milwaukee game though. Then you go to Chicago. Then you have the Ravens at home who've been assy.
Yep.
Pittsburgh on the road. Kind of tough.
Pittsburgh's not good on the road though.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean, it's on the road. It's at Pittsburgh on Sunday night football.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
Yeah, maybe flex that out for us, NBC. They won't though. I mean, that's public.
That's two blue bloods.
No, they aren't.
I mean,
unless Matt Flynn's
shitty Giants and the shitty Broncos on Sunday Night Football.
Well, I think they can only flex two games from Week 5 to Week 10, and then flexing they can do whatever they want with it. So I think they're waiting for that. They have a Raiders Dolphins.
They
game.
Want some flexibility in their flexes.
Yeah, there's a Raiders Dolphins Sunday Night game in like 2 weeks. Yeah, that's getting flexed.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins are so fucking bad.
So are the Raiders.
Yeah, Derek Carr forgot how to play. So.
I mean, they just don't care. I don't think the Raiders really care right now. I haven't seen the Raiders give a shit in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But
as Derek Carr says, we got a lot of time left.
Absolutely. I mean, they beat the Chiefs next week. Football is as crazy as it's ever. I literally have no idea who's good.
I had a hot week in picks this week, so
congrats.
I'm back.
I'm glad you're back.
And I mean, you know, Stevie Wonder could have saw the Steelers winning yesterday.
Oh, I took the Steelers.
So did I.
I would have finished second if Denver would have won that game.
I took the Giants. That spread was just insane.
God damn. Every time you pick against me, I swear to God. I swear to God. It is the record.
I mean, a 12-point spread, the Giants. Trevor Simeon, I don't know.
That's a good point. I should have thought about it.
I know that the Giants
and
Broncos
I wish we went out
drinking
on Saturday because you would have talked me out of that.
Yeah.
You would have talked me out of that.
I mean, if you think I thought about it before, like 10 a.m.
No,
on Sunday.
No, I don't make picks till about 11.
I might have, but
and
the Rams too.
I went to the Jaguars. Fuck. God.
See the Jags.
Damn it.
The Jags are feeling themselves all week.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
And the Rams are just good enough.
Stop going head to head with me. That's three of them. You faded me in three, and you won all three. You asshole.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, you had guys. Houston, right?
No, I didn't have Houston. Mm. I wish I would have had Arizona. That was the one. I had the over in that.
The only two I got wrong were Green Bay and Detroit.
Okay. I took Detroit. I took New Orleans, so I did beat you on that one. Okay, so I got one. All right. We went way off track. So, yes, they play the Lions So, December then is the Buccaneers at home. Could be a huge game. Who knows?
Is hurt though.
I have no idea what the Buccaneers are. Their defense is so bad right now. I mean, Carson Palmer. It was an old timers day in Sun Devil Stadium, and then they played the Browns on the road, Carolina on the road. Not easy. But you know, if Luke Kuechly's out, that defense is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Minnesota on Saturday night, right before Christmas. Talk about a drunk crowd that'll be.
Yep.
And
that's
then,
like, what, 2 days before Christmas?
Day before Christmas. Day before Christmas Eve.
Right.
So 23rd, Saturday night. And then you get the Lions in Detroit for the final game of the season on Christmas Eve, or on New Year's Eve, excuse me. So, not like all their tough teams are out of the way. Like, yeah, Minnesota
one
more
time.
Yeah,
they had a brutal start.
Right. The Ravens are nowhere near anyone thought they were going to be. The Steelers are kind of meh. Who knows what Big Ben's condition will be? I mean, they won that game because they rode Le'Veon Bell, and they finally said, okay, Big Ben is a game manager at best.
Ben literally might retire between now and then.
But Big Ben nearly threw an interception that ended up caroming off and going to Antonio Brown for a touchdown that won him the game. I mean, just consider that fact. Yep. So...
And the Chiefs also didn't kick a field goal.
So I have zero idea why people are just throwing dirt on this Packers season like it's over. It's not over at all. Like, they still have a chance.
Yep.
So
you can rally the troops.
Absolutely. So probably should get to picks and get moving.
Yep.
But I still think the Packers are going to win. And I just think that it's one of those weeks. I think the way how pissed off McCarthy was, and kind of looking what the Giants did on Sunday, I think there's going to be a lot of pride in that game, and I think it's a lot different than 2013, and it's going to show itself, and the Packers are going to win a barn burner. It's going to be the tune of 31-30. Mason Crosby, game winner. Yeah, Packers and Saints have played some absolute classics at Lambeau. Last two have been phenomenal, so don't expect anything different.
I'll take the Saints. But I think the Packers defense shows something in terms of holding Drew Brees out of the end zone a little more than you might think to the naked eye. I wouldn't say 38. I would say maybe 28-17.
Okay.
Saints
win. So the Saints cover.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
So
if they score 17, do you think everybody's losing their shit?
Probably.
Think me and you are trying to calm and blow out the fire, kind of like that SpongeBob gif where we're just blowing on like burning, like just things burning.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that's the case, I'll strap in and we'll deliver a hell of a podcast. I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
So, moving topics. I mean, switching up. No real time. We'll fit in a little. Do you want to fit in a little MLB playoffs before we go? Go full into the NBA.
Sure.
So we are now at the the championship series stage. Game three of the ALCS is going right now. The Yankees currently have a 3-0 lead, I think, as we tape Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting stuff so far. Has anything really caught your eye from these first couple games for both series?
I guess just don't count out the Cubs.
Ooh, that's spicy.
I just something about the Dodgers still. I mean,
the Dodgers have demons. I mean, they have not got to a World Series in 30 years.
Right.
They have some noticeable demons, and you know that's definitely the case. So there's nothing wrong with that take. I think there are some legit demons on that team. I do think. That Dodger bullpen is as good as a bullpen as I've seen.
It is.
It's like Royals bullpen on steroids.
It was funny. I watching the game on Saturday night when Kenley Jansen was in there.
Yeah.
Like the crowd was like half paying attention. They like that dude's so automatic that like the crowd like was barely even, they were already celebrating.
Right.
With like two outs left.
Yeah. He's unreal.
Yeah.
He is.
He's also about 6'7". He's like the size of a left tackle.
Right. Yeah, no, Kenley Jansen's a beast.
Yeah.
I mean, what's weird, what they do now, which is really interesting, is they set it up with when the lineup.
Son of a bitch, Justin Turner.
Okay. Speaking of Justin Turner, have you seen his fiance?
I'm sure she's a smoke bomb.
Oh, my God. Like,
he's from Southern California. He's got the hometown ties. He plays for the Dodgers.
She is ridiculous. Like,
he's a ginger. He's a fire crotch.
So good for him. Justin Turner.
How short is he? That would be another thing that you would sort of measure up.
I don't know, but I love that our boy Brian Anderson got the call.
Yep.
And fun fact, Brian Anderson revealed this week that he passed up on the Dodgers job. that the the Dodgers offered him the job, and he recommended them going with Joe Davis, who does MLB on Fox too and does some NFL. He recommended Joe Davis over him.
Well, God bless Brian Anderson then.
And that just, I mean, you're.
I mean that you. I mean you're not. If he passed that up, he's staying in Milwaukee, I would think, forever.
Probably. He probably hasn't made in the shade. He probably loves it in the Midwest.
Unless you know, ultimately he might just go into like. Where he's doing a couple national things here and there.
Yeah, or he's the number one guy.
But that's probably 20 years down the road.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah.
He becomes like a number one guy for,
And he shared that great picture of him and Vasgersian doing radio together in Texas Fall League 20 years ago. I'd pay good money to listen to that broadcast.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
That is, right? Like... So the fact that he got that call, he got that moment. I love that there's a potential he just Wally Pips Ernie Johnson out of a job, which would be great.
That'll probably happen.
It probably will. It should. Because, I mean, that call was great. It was a great moment. I was looking at Fant, who's a resident Cubs fan, and I go, why is Wade Davis not in this baseball game? He goes, I don't know. I'm like... And then Joe Madden's like, well, he was limited to pitches. So, okay, so is he hurt?
Wade Davis just pitched, what, 3 innings not too long? Was it game 5?
Yeah, I mean, was Wade Davis down the whole weekend and now he's going to be fine? I mean, did you really need to sacrifice him for 2 games? I mean, you probably lost yourself game 2.
Yeah.
But the Cubs' bats have to get going, and I don't know, I think Yu Darvish is beatable. Because I think Yu Darvish can kind of be assy against left-handers.
And how many, I mean, how much
he gives up a lot of hard contact against lefties.
For all the hype for Yu Darvish, is he really, I mean, when coming in, like, has he really lived up to that?
No, and I think a lot of Brewers fans might push for that Yu Darvish to sign him, and I am not about that life at all.
Well, that's a $100 million contract, probably.
I'm more on the Jake Arrieta bandwagon, to be honest. Ooh. You're asking. If you're gonna bring in a top-flight pitcher, I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying if you are, I'm kind of more on the Arrieta bandwagon. Does he go game 3 or is he going game 4?
I am not sure.
Don't pay you for nothing. So, yeah, and the Astros series equally.
Well, he pitched game 5, right?
Yeah. Astros series equally ridiculous. Kind of nice to see the Yankees fighting back here with
Chuck's Yankees.
No, I'm not a. Okay, I knew this was gonna happen.
I'm just kidding.
I knew this was gonna happen. I knew I wrote like a story about the Yankees, and I knew you were gonna.
Well, you say it's good to see him coming back
because you. Well, listen, I just want about 6 and 7 games and just awesome baseball
for sure.
I don't want to wait like a week for the World Series.
Yeah,
I
just that's right, because they set the World Series date in stone.
Exactly. So,
which is what day?
It's right around when we do when Murph.
It's like November 1st or something.
It's the Mecca game. It's right around that 26th. Yeah, great day. Kyle Hendricks goes for them, and then I think Arrieta probably goes in game 4.
Hendricks has been their best pitcher.
Yeah, they don't have a lot. Oh, yeah, Arrieta and Alex Wood for game 4.
Alex Wood has not pitched in the postseason yet.
Ooh, that's
so that. Look out for that.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, now, okay, so here's a doomsday scenario. You want to hear a doomsday scenario? Here is the real doomsday scenario. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers get up 3-0, and with the fact that MLB does the 2-3-2, the Cubs come back, and then they win in 7 and do the 3-0. I just probably wouldn't watch the World Series. I'm not even kidding. Like, if that happens, and I hate myself for even bringing that up, but it's not good.
Yeah.
That would not be good. So I think the Cubs bullpen might be just, it finally ran the, like, they finally kind of ran out. My pops has been saying for a while that the Cubs bullpen was trash, and he's looking like a genius.
Yeah. It isn't that great, is it?
I mean, no. Carl Edwards has completely like lost it. Like, he was one of their best pitchers.
I mean, that's why Wade Davis had to go 3 innings.
Right. Rendon comes in first time he's there. Boom. Home run.
Yep.
You saw it happen. Boom. Yep. Out of here. Shout out to Brett Myers. But that's a classic Jim Rome drop. I don't know if you've ever heard that one.
I don't think so.
Brett Myers is getting interviewed. And they ask him, like, they're like, so what happened? And he's like, you saw it. Boom. Out of here. and I think he walked away.
I remember that happening, actually, I think vividly or vaguely.
All right, well, we should talk basketball now because we've talked enough about baseball. And all right, so Milwaukee, the word around town is we're lighting it up. So who's going to win it? The Bucks, the Bucks. The purple and green is exciting and tough. So who's going to win it? The Bucks, the Bucks. From the Central Division. Go ahead. Great. Great. I let it play off a little bit. So here's the thing. It is probably the biggest Bucks season in a decade, over a decade. The hype.
Decade and a half.
The hype is huge. Some people are thinking the Bucks could be second in the East.
I did see that today. The Ringer had their predictions.
The Ringer had them second. Kevin Pelton had them second.
There was like two of the guys from the Ringer, two out of like eight or whatever, had them in the freaking Eastern Conference Finals.
I mean, it's real right now. And as someone pointed out, I forget which Bucks writer
it was. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
When you expect – oh, no, it was Zach Lowe.
Zach Lowe said it, yeah.
Zach Lowe goes, when you expect the Bucks to be good, they are bad. And when you expect them to be bad, they are good.
I think I mentioned it last week on the podcast. He said, I think I have PTSD from from them. You know, so in other words, he's afraid to pick them to go that far because, you know, when they're supposed to be good, they – you know, they lay an egg. So
but is it Giannis?
It's obviously different now, though.
Right. Is it Giannis proof? I mean,
perhaps.
You know, Giannis. This is supposed to be one of the years of Giannis. Kind of a breakout season for him, and I think he has a great opportunity.
Well, I think it's more than a breakout season.
Yeah.
I think last season was the breakout season.
Right.
And this year now he's getting a lot of MVP chatter to start the year. You know, which is just unreal.
Yeah. It's
I mean, he's amazing. There's no way around it, but
I mean, I felt like last Friday night's game against the Pistons was like, okay, I'm at first. This is what you're going to see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was blocking shots right at the rim.
Well, yeah, I mean, he took the game over in the third quarter.
Right. He had a full stat line, and it was just a preseason game.
He only played three quarters, yeah. Probably played 20 minutes.
Right. And he had 19 points, and he had five blocks, and he had some just some unreal chase down blocks that are something that...
Yeah, and if you watch enough Bucks games, they're almost commonplace.
Right.
Probably does that like once a week.
And so, and the hype will get even bigger if they go into Boston and then they play Cleveland and they win both those games. If they start 2-0, I mean, people are going to lose their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be a lot of slow down. It's a long season. And if they go 0-2, slow down. It's a long season.
I mean, that'll be me probably both ways.
Right.
I'll be pissed if they go 0-2. I mean, I don't know if I'll be pissed, but
it can't be.
No,
it's way too early. It's way too early to be mad. Even if they start slow out the gates, you got to assess the Bucks schedule. It's very tough.
I'll probably say multiple F words in the first quarter of the first game.
Sure, absolutely.
No question about it.
When does our good friend Eric Patriots say to Bucks Twitter.
I'm going to have to sit in the dark all day on Wednesday, I think.
When does Eric complain about Jason Kidd's rotations? The over-under set at the second quarter.
I would say, probably by halftime in the first game.
Yes. It's like, I feel like we're all on edge a little bit.
How about defensive scheme? That's going to be...
That's another thing.
That's going to be, I'd say, first half of the first quarter.
Yeah. So, you know,
somebody's going to hit a wide open corner three for Boston on like the first possession.
Right.
And it's going to be, here we go again. And I'm probably guilty of that too.
And it's some of the stuff, if you run back when we previewed the Packers, it's a lot of similar sort of narratives where you just sort of get wound up. It's almost like a start of a Packer season. It really is. It's not like the Brewer season where it's like, well, maybe we'll get to 80 games, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this team could legitimately challenge Cleveland and Boston for the Eastern Conference title.
Yeah.
And that is a legit thing you can say. Now, the question is, will they?
Yeah, I think I've probably settled into like a four seed.
Yeah, I'm fine
because
with
I think
that.
Washington's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
If you put a gun to my head right now and we're doing it, I mean, I would think Toronto would be the five, the Bucks are the four, we get a rematch of the Bucks and Raptors in the first round. Bucks have home court though this time.
Yeah, and I think
which hopefully gives them the advantage, and we hopefully win our first playoff series since 2001.
I think there's a lot more respect in the league for the Bucks as well. I think that they kind of earn their stripes. It's kind of a bullshit thing that the NBA does, but I feel like officials wise, they're going to kind of get, you know, more benefit of the doubt calls than especially Giannis. Because I think Giannis now gets some of the superstar calls that Kevin Durant gets, that Steph gets, you know.
Yeah. So, well, you know, he's a top 10 player. I think that's pretty confirmed.
Right.
At this point, most of the pundits have him in at least the top 10.
And so. The thing is, and if you are like kind of a Bucks fan or you're, you know, more of a casual Bucks fan, like every game is must watch. Every game is must watch. Yeah. You know, as much as you can watch the Bucks this year, do it, because who knows if this is the year before everything happens, or it's, you know, it's just, it's amazing to watch Giannis play basketball and to really appreciate him and to see what he's done is great.
And yeah, and they're going to need more guys to step up.
Right. And you know, Chris Middleton, I think you could see a little bit of a revenge year for him, because I think he has a lot
Chris is going to have to score.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's going to score off the bench so much outside of Monroe. Greg Monroe obviously is kind of a sixth man of the year candidate. He missed out on it last year, but as Zach Lowe put it in the same article we've referenced already, usually it goes to an empty calorie wing chucker.
I like that.
Like a Jamal Crawford.
Empty calorie wing chucker. That's why Zach Lowe, man, one of the best.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So we'll see if Greg Monroe can do that. But, I mean, other than that,
well,
they don't keep Gerald Green, which I think a lot of us, he survived the initial wave of cuts, but then a few hours later got cut himself by the Bucks. And now the 15th man as we record this podcast is DeAndre Liggins.
Yep, that's an interesting one.
Might have been brought in for intel on the Cavs.
Who knows?
Because he played for the Cavs as recently as last season, I believe. Yep. So,
I mean, guy. But,
I mean, I don't know who you're outside of Monroe. That's a role that I would like Jabari Parker to fulfill this season.
Yeah.
When he comes back.
I mean, so you look at what they, you look at
kind of him in a little bit.
You look at that kind of bench, and I think you have to think that maybe it's the rebirth of Mirza Teletovic.
Because he was bombing away in the last preseason game, and he was making them. They were all making them.
And the thing about Mirza is he had his worst season of his career.
Yeah.
And he will not have a season like that again.
I don't believe he can be any worse than he was last year.
You regress to the mean, and you kind of come in between. And I think Mirza becomes that guy that could go off for 20 on a given night, and he carries the team and with just his 3-point shooting.
Yeah,
I think Sterling Brown, as the season goes on, is gonna have a big impact.
Yeah. Well, and Rashad Vaughn.
I'm
team Rashad.
I'm not.
I know a lot of people aren't. It's probably 50-50, but. I mean, it's kind of, you know, obviously a make or break year for him, like it is for the team.
And you wonder if Dellavedova will be better this year as well.
God, but Deli's, you know, I like Deli. There's I a like use Deli. For him.
No, I like Deli.
There's a use for him, but there's going to be times where you're going to want to wring his freaking neck.
Yes. Deli is better as a bench player. And I think that now that role is defined and that Brogdon's going to be the, you know, the dude.
I mean, he had like a 5-foot floater on Friday night and he just missed it. And it's just like,
yeah.
How the hell do you miss that?
That's Deli life.
Yeah, it is.
And I really think you're going to
get. But he hit like 3 threes. So
I think you're going to get a lot of production out of Thon Maker this year. I think
Thon
Maker is going to have a big year. I think he's beefed up. I think he's ready to take that next step. I don't know if. I think there'll be games where he just completely disappears.
Well, again,
But he'll take advantage of teams when there is a mismatch.
The parallels between him and Giannis are just incredible because. He's now in his second year in the NBA, which, if you remember back to Giannis' second year, there obviously were a lot of flashes, and he was a good player, you know, but he had a lot of foul trouble.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Thon kind of is right now, where I think he'll play 20, 25 minutes again. You'd like to bump that up a little bit. I don't know if you can play him and Greg on the floor at the same time.
No, I don't think so.
But he's got to stay out of foul trouble, and a guy like Andre Drummond is going to kill Thon Maker.
Right, but he did okay against them.
Yeah, but he had 3 or 4 fouls and
right, but he had a plus minus of 16.
Sure.
I mean, he was plus 16.
I think he's definitely he's the biggest X factor this year probably.
Right.
If he takes, you know, half the leap that Giannis did in his second year, I think, you know, you're looking at a pretty solid contributor.
Absolutely. And another contributor they'll get back middle of the season is Jabari Parker. Now the Bucks and Parker could not come to a deal.
Where do you think about that? I think it's probably the right move from the Bucks organizational standpoint. you know, Jabari's personality is a little weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he probably is going to, how he's going to react to this.
Yeah, I think
he's got a good support system. I don't know if you saw the Sports Illustrated video.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and I think he's got a good support system. He's doing things a little differently, I think, this time. I think he, at least in the video, he said that he's sticking with his mom more, you know, his family a little bit more now this time to kind of, I guess, make things normal. Whereas last time when he tore his ACL, he was more by himself trying to rehab and all that.
Yeah.
He went to Peru or whatever it was for the last time, but I think he's sticking around here more. So
I think,
yeah, I don't know. I think obviously you control what ultimately happens because he's restricted.
Right.
You know, I don't think any player likes to go to restricted free agency.
No, I think it's kind of it's a wait and see. And then if there's an offer that he really likes, let's just say the Celtics or the Cavaliers offer him, you know, not that they would, but never know. And then, well, what if I want to go to Boston or I want to go to New York or whatever? And does that leave you with a guy who's yearning to play elsewhere?
Yeah.
The other thing I want to bring up is you never know. I mean, the contract, he could have got an Embiid-like contract that has stuff written in the contract about his injuries.
Yeah.
And that they had a contract that said, here's the money. But if you get hurt X here, we're going to, you know, you have to have a certain amount of minutes. And he wasn't about that.
I would have been irate, though, if he would have gotten $148 million.
Yeah, because it's kind of a slap in the face to Giannis. Right. And I think they're being really careful. And, okay, so this is a little spicy. And, you know, what's there to say that Thon can't be the jelly to his peanut butter, to Giannis's peanut butter?
Thon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Thon is going to be that good.
No, me either.
He's like, I don't even think he'll be an all-star.
All right. No. But
I mean,
but if you have guys like Brogdon, Middleton, Maker around Giannis, you can win a lot of games with those guys.
Yeah.
And if you make it a little better, if you get a couple more guys,
I think Jabari's huge to the potential of this team.
Yeah.
Because you need, I mean, Middleton and Brogdon and Thon are going to be nice, but you still need kind of that Robin to the Batman.
Yeah, you do. And so
I think you can win a lot of games, but I don't know if you can maximize your potential.
Yeah.
Without another stud.
Right. And so, but yeah, and that's the frustrating thing is you saw those glimpses of Jabari and the fact, you know, Jabari breaking through was so awesome. And you just wish he was healthy and he played out the season last year and then this year he's fully ready to roll. I mean, it's gonna be a great what if in Bucks history if we never see the full potential of Jabari Parker. And I don't know. I at this he's still very young. There's still a lot left for him to do. But yeah, two ACL tears is brutal. Granted, medicine today is far more advanced than what it was when you tear two ACLs in 90s and you'd be done.
Yeah.
So you never know. I think it's going to be a topic we talk about. I'm sure there's going to be some stuff that leaks out because the Bucks are a squeaky wheel. It never seems to amaze me how much shit gets out of that fucking front office. And I don't know who to blame, but
no, they're all friendly guys.
Well, they're all nice guys, but
that's what I'm saying. They're all connected.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I think sometimes they're catty bitches.
Yeah, and I also think Woj has a bone to pick too. So
well, that's yes, we're kind of team fuck Woj, but that's another story for another podcast.
Yeah.
So cap the buck. So you said four seed. How many wins is that?
Probably 47, 48.
Okay.
I think, you know, Cleveland and Boston will be in the 60s.
Yep.
Low 60s, probably.
Right.
I think Washington sneaks in there somewhere.
Yep.
Like I said, too, maybe at 49, 50.
Yep.
And the Bucks right behind, 48, 47, okay. 48.
I will put the Bucks at I'm going to do it. I'm going to go 52 wins. And the Bucks are the 3 seed in the East.
I would absolutely love to see it.
And I think they will play the Charlotte Hornets in the first round.
Ooh.
And yeah, so it'll be Boston, Cleveland, and the Bucks, and then Washington, Toronto, Charlotte, And I don't know the rest because the East is just kind of a hellscape.
I fucking hate the Sixers. I'll drop a hard F on that. But I do think they make the playoffs.
I think so too.
I think they get like a 7.
So you don't really like Embiid.
I'm just sick of his shit. He talks so much shit for somebody who just doesn't play.
I don't know. I love it. See, this is where you're weird about guys. Like we talked about this last week. Like, see, I love Embiid.
Well, I just can't wait till Giannis just swats his shit one time. And just,
well, yes, there is a part of me that would love.
I'm gonna have to go to the hospital. I'm
well, yeah, so I will be hard for like for 24 hours. Like I will just shake my dick at Philadelphia fans all on Twitter because no one is more of a just a terrible fan base than Philly fans.
Oh God, no.
They wonder why they get shit. And they just run their mouth, the Malcolm Brogdon stuff. It's like, look, I'm sorry that you cannot combine the homie Dario and Embiid together.
And I'm sorry that Embiid's actually in his third year.
And I'm sorry that Dario Saric looks like he'd try to steal my girlfriend if he'd get a chance. Fuck that guy. Yes, we're on team fuck the Sixers too.
But I do think they're going to be good.
No, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be a good team. I think they have definitely some potential. And so,
because when Embiid plays, I mean, he's dominant.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
8-0, Yankees winning.
Wow. That game is over.
Yep.
I like the Bucks.
You think Charlotte gets in there?
Yeah, I kind of like the Charlotte.
Yeah, why not?
I like the Malik Monk. I like the Malik Monk. I know Batum's out for 6 weeks, which is kind of a big loss, but it's still really early. I just look at the East and I'm like, okay, the Hawks, nah. They lose Millsap. I don't know what the Hawks really have left. I mean, Budenholzer's a good coach.
The Hawks are going to be bad.
Is Budenholzer still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to be bad, though.
No, I don't think they'll be good. Bulls are going to be trash. Real bad.
Bulls and Hawks are going to be the two worst teams in the East.
Really? You think worse than... So you think the Nets will be okay?
Yeah, they're not going to be the absolute bottom feeder. They're gonna pull a Detroit and probably win 28 games.
Since I'm back on my DraftKings bullshit, obviously starting today, I'm all in on D'Angelo Russell early on in this season.
Sure,
I think D'Angelo Russell is gonna have a huge year.
Sure,
I would not be surprised.
Knicks are gonna be bad too.
Knicks, of course, yes. Water is also wet.
I think your bottom five is probably gonna look. Indiana's in there, probably as your fourth or fifth worst team. The absolute worst is probably gonna be. Atlanta, Chicago, Indiana again, and then you're looking at probably New York, and then Brooklyn maybe, sort of rounding 25 to 28 win area.
I think if you exclude, do you buy into any of the Orlando sort of, they could be sneaky okay?
I know Zach Lowe had that as the team, the typical Eastern team that just, kind of like the Miami of last year where it's okay, they're tanking, but then they end up, you know, some things go their way and, you know, I don't know. I could see Detroit sneaking in there.
Oh, okay.
Just as an 8 seed.
I just think
mediocre
that,
as hell.
I just think the Stan Van thing is weird. I don't know if they really vibe.
I feel bad for them.
Miami, I think every year because they just Spoelstra and I think
the Heat could be frisky.
Yeah. Nah, totally.
The Heat could be have a year like last year.
Absolutely. So as we, you know, talk and look more, you know, in the anything else in the East, do you have any, I guess, any takes on the Cole Kyrie Irving thing, the Dwayne Wade now back with the Cavs?
Well, Cleveland's good.
Derrick Rose suddenly looks rejuvenated.
He does, doesn't he, right?
Until his knees just kind of kick out on him.
Well, now he's not making any money, so
right,
he's got to try to earn,
exactly,
you know, that next deal.
Right. And so all of a sudden, Derrick Rose has shown himself as a good basketball player again.
Dwayne Wade's corpse is there, who's still decent, I guess.
Yeah, and I think Dwayne Wade, though, I think this is a perfect role for him because I think with the Bulls, he was trying to like be the guy, and he realizes that like if he's the fourth or fifth option with Kevin Love being number two on that team, not bad.
Do you buy into the J.R. Smith not liking the the bench role?
100% do, and. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but LeBron will fucking whip him in the ass. And
right. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think J.R. Smith is kind of like, I think him and LeBron are you know, sort of, we're sort of, he thought, probably saw LeBron as sort of his guy, and then, you know, Dwayne Wade comes in, and it's sort of different. Hmm. I think, I'm sure the locker room dynamic has changed. And I'm sure,
pretty glad the Bucks don't have guys that are that mentally fragile.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of mental midgets on that Cleveland team. Like, sure. A lot. Like, now, a headline.
IT's all pissed off about getting traded or whatever, I don't blame him, but like, it's kind
of
like.
Is he going to be ready for the start of the season?
I'm not sure, but when he is, that's another.
Yeah.
And Cleveland got deeper. So, like, I don't know. I've kind of had a spicy take that both teams got worse in that trade.
Yeah.
Which you can kind of argue. Because it's,
I think, though, adding that, the Boston now, talk about deep. I mean, Boston is kind of loaded.
Who's going to rebound, though?
I mean, yeah, that's a $100 million question.
Right.
Because they still don't. I mean, Al Horford is good and offensive, but he's not going to pull down 8 or 9 rebounds a game.
Right.
And so isn't Kelly Olynyk. And so isn't,
So Aaron Baines is going to be playing a little bit more than they probably. Bainesy. Than they would probably like.
Yeah, that guy's weird.
So.
But
you're asking a lot of Jaylen Brown probably and Jason Tatum.
I'm kind of in on Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I think both are Jason Tatum, I think, is really good. I think Jaylen Brown is going to develop into one of the better defenders in the league. Him and Marcus Smart can basically bail out Kyrie Irving's defense. And I don't know if Cleveland ever had the wings that could protect, Kyrie from being a pretty piss poor defender.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think Brad Stevens kind of works with Kyrie because I think the cerebralness of Stevens fits in with what Kyrie Irving is.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to be fine, I think, ultimately. It might take them a little while. They might get beat by the Bucks. We'll see.
Yeah.
Opening night.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game, and it'll be a back-to-back for Boston. Then the Bucks get a bunch of home games, so see your Bucks early. Go out, go see the Bucks pretty early this year. I mean, they got four games.
Four. After opening night, they have four games straight.
One is in the Mecca, so that will be a very, very difficult ticket to get, as we know. But yeah, go see the Bucks. So, how much time are we at?
We are at the 56-minute mark.
Do you want to touch on the West really quick?
Yeah, let's just touch.
So everyone thinks
the Warriors are going to win the West. So there really isn't much
Nick Swaggy P. Young and JaVale McGee, do you think that's too many knuckleheads on a team, or do you think that's going to provide us with multiple gifts each night?
I think Nick Young's going to like a surplus of open shots.
I think Nick Young's going to have a huge year. I'm going to call that right now. What odds would you take on a Nick Young Sixth Man of the Year award odds? Ooh. If those were like at about 35-1 or like 50-1, even 100-1, maybe.
I don't think that's even out there, really.
No, probably not. Do you think
he's not really the sixth man, is he?
So yeah, no.
It's Iggy, probably.
But I think that's a subjective award.
Best bench player. Right?
Do you, D'Antoni with Harden and Chris Paul, what do you think that'll look like? Do you think it's going to be the classic hot take? There's only one ball.
Yeah, well, I think it is. I think it's going to take some time for them. Don't be surprised if they get boat raced on tonight.
Now, here's the thing that I think you guys should think about. Two things. If Chris Paul can be like his buddy Dwayne Wade and realize that LeBron Harden's the star, then they're fine. Chris Paul still thinks he's the top 5 player in the NBA. Fucked.
That's the thing is, you hear a lot that Chris Paul's an egomaniac.
Yes, I could totally see the Clippers having a much better season than people expect because they're rid of Chris Paul.
You're sensing some frisk from the Clips.
Little Ewing theory.
Yeah.
I think Oklahoma City's probably the most fascinating team in the league, just from how are those guys going to work more so than. The Chris Paul,
I think I trust them more than Chris Paul and James Harden.
Really? So you think that Billy Donovan can hold those three guys together? I trust D'Antoni way more than I do Billy Donovan.
Well, D'Antoni failed with Los Angeles.
That's true. He did. That's a great point. Are you you buying any Denver vibes?
Yeah, maybe as an 8 seed.
Ooh, I think they're a little better than that. I love Jokic. I really do. I think
sure.
Jokic and Millsap together is going to be really hard to beat. They do have to figure out what they're doing at guard, though. They have some issues.
I mean, that eight in the West is going to come down to Portland, probably Utah, and probably Memphis.
Yeah. No. Ooh, I don't think. Have you looked at Memphis's roster lately?
It's not great.
No.
But Gasol and Conley are pretty good.
Yeah, but I'm not with you on that.
I think Dallas, Phoenix, and Sacramento are garbage.
Do you think Boogie gets traded again?
Perhaps.
Think Boogie gets traded to the Bucks?
I hope not.
Okay. That's a podcast topic for another time.
Uh-huh.
Lakers, are you going to watch a decent amount of Laker games with Lonzo?
I'm sure they'll be on enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of in on seeing how the Lakers develop.
Sure.
I don't have any ill will towards them. Lonzo, I think
we're all going to hate him next year when they have LeBron and,
yeah,
you know, so
that's a great point.
Let's enjoy this.
That's a great point. Also, too, you can sell me on Sacramento maybe being a frisky team. Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team, but De'Aaron Fox is my dude.
They would be one of my league pass teams, maybe.
Absolutely. Because they have a really eclectic blend of guys.
Yeah, De'Aaron Fox is going to be good.
De'Aaron Fox is my dude. I like De'Aaron Fox a lot. I think the fact that Lonzo Ball is scared of him is hilarious.
Thanks to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. How about Minnesota having an over-under of 47?
Yeah.
Is Jimmy Butler really that?
I just think that, you know, Vegas or whoever's, you know, the media, you know, whoever, they just have, you know, goggles on over Thibodeau with Jimmy Butler. They think that he's just, you know, he's Jimmy Butler's whisper.
This is a sneaky big year for Jimmy Butler, because if Jimmy Butler, again, is kind of a problem child, like, that's kind of...
I think he's really a problem child.
He's his own guy.
He is his own guy. I like him.
I do too. I love Carl Anthony Towns.
I hated him when he played for the Bulls.
Nah, I see the Marquette thing.
Yeah, well.
But I'm a big Cat guy.
I can never fully like him because he did play for Marquette. So.
I'm a big Cat guy. Give me all the...
Totally. They're probably penciled in for the sixth seed, I think, in the West.
Right.
Somewhere in there. Maybe five.
I'll knuckle up if anyone says Cat's better than Giannis, though.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So
get all the fucking way out of here.
I heard that.
I mean, nobody's better than Giannis, so it's kind of hard to really.
Exactly. It's hard to be better than the GOAT, right?
Exactly.
So, okay.
New Orleans, maybe they get in.
Well, right. New Orleans maybe gets in. I mean, yeah, is Anthony Davis actually going to make a playoff? You know, he made one, I think, right?
Two? Yeah, he got the eighth seed 2 years ago.
Yeah, they got swept by Golden State. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a fun year, man. I mean, I think the hype around the NBA.
The NBA is just
not
like,
just the Bucks.
The NBA is in a great place.
The NBA is probably where the NFL was a couple years ago, and I think it's almost must see every night out. So
I mean, the NFL I think hit a critical mass at some point here.
Yep.
But they're obviously king, but
yeah, but I think the NBA knows that this year they could make a significant dent with all the things going on.
With Aaron Rodgers being out for the year, maybe the Bucks can take some spotlight.
You bet. So next week we'll talk about Bucks Week One. We'll see how many
that could be a bad thing.
We'll see how many we'll see how many overreactions we have, as well as the overreactions to Brent Hundley's first start at Lambeau Field, and talk about the bye week and see what takes. Come out of there, and maybe we're previewing the World Series. Who knows?
Man.
So for Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care, guys. Have a good rest of your week.
Peace. See ya!